Okay, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Let's continue with our journey of metaphysics. So, let's continue. We were talking about secularization, this very important idea that's pervasive in our world at this moment in time. The author, the Sheikh, says, if the full implications of the foregoing brief exposition of the meaning of secularization is understood, it will become obvious that the 20th century Christian Arabic usage and accepted translation of the term secular as al-anmani merely reflects its meaning as formulated by the Latinized Western Christianity of the 13th century. Even though the modern translators vaguely refer to the term secular as meaning also jilli or qarni, yet they were completely unaware of the way in which the concept couched in the term secular has evolved during the last seven centuries in the experience and consciousness of Western man. Okay, so he's talking about it in a particular geographic location and a particular point in history or development in history, okay? Causing the rise of contemporary problems never encountered before. Okay, so you can tell he's not exactly a fan of this. Their description of secularity as al-ihtimam bi-umur al-dunya or as al-ihtimam bil-alamiyat is not quite correct, because to be preoccupied with the affairs of the world or with worldly things is, according to us, not necessarily really to be opposed to religion. Remember, I've mentioned this before, and we've done this in classes when we've studied Imam Ghazali, for example, that there is no contradiction in Islam being preoccupied with this world and being a religious person. They're not separate, distinct categories, right? The world is a place where you plant your seeds. You work in this world to plant and invest for your salvation, all right? And it all comes down to the akhirah for a Muslim. It all comes down to the next life, what is to follow. Ukhrawi, akhirah, is what comes afterwards, right? Dunya, dana. The word dunya comes from the word dana. Dana means something that's close because it's proximate. We're in it now, in the now. But akhirah is what's to follow, okay? So, according to us, is not necessarily opposed to religion, whereas secularity, understood in a modern sense, is necessarily opposed to religion. This is a distinction. It wants to banish religion. It wants to get religion out of humanity altogether, or at least, if you can't do that, make it a private thing. Hide your topi. We don't want to see your religious garb. We don't want to see your hijab or niqab. We don't want to see these things, right? Religion, similarly to secular, is not quite the same as hawal il gharad il alami or ad-dunya, right? He's basically just saying that people have Arabs, when they talk about secularization in their terms or the dunya, is something very, very different. Because to change in accordance with what is good in the pursuit of worldly end is, according to us, not necessary to change in opposition to religion, right? So that's not an issue. We don't have a problem with that. Secularization in the modern sense described above and which is actually happening is a process which is definitely opposed to religion. This is the problem. It is a philosophical program or an ideology that seeks to destroy the very foundations of religion, right? Like they try to do or they've done with Christianity, they seek to do the same with Islam. Al-Maniyya then cannot be described of cannot be a description of secularism, as it seems to me nearer the truth to describe it as waqi'iyya, in view of its close conceptual connection with the philosophical idea of positivism. Positivism, as you know, is this idea of how we can, it's very materialistic in the idea that we can count things, we can sense things, right? This idea of positivism. Be that as it may, since the dual connotation of place and time is fundamental to the concept of saeculum, we talked about place and time in the previous videos, which conveys already the germ of meaning that evolves naturally and logically into its present, contagious fullness. And since the place and the time refer to here and now respectively, it would be more precise to describe secularism literally by some compound word such as hulaniyya, from huna or al-an, right now, the here and now, from the here and nowness elicited by hulaniya, right? This now, haulani, haul, or then as we say in Arabic, and when we use fiqh, when we talk about the lunar calendar, right, the 1 year. So the hulaniya is the now, right? Clearly projects a conception of world and life in that it rejects the other world beyond. This is really important, right? For them, it's about now. Who cares about the future? Who cares about the past? It's about the now, right? Our situated is as now. As for us as Muslims, everything we do now has an impact, not only in this world, for the future generations, which we must be aware of, but it also affects us in terms of our accountability and, of course, our salvation. Okay. It rejects other worlds beyond that repudiates the past, except insofar as it confirms the present, that affirms an open future, that altogether denies religion and worldviews having ultimate and final significance. Right? This is where we differ. But better still, to emulate the method of discerning scholars, savants, and sages among our early predecessors, who were very much aware of the paramount importance of language and its profound connection with reason, who were meticulous in the correct use of language and the pursuit of authentic meaning, who exercised great care not to confuse Islamic terms and concepts with those that do not correspond and cohere with the Islam, with the worldview of Islam. So language is very, very important, right? How you translate words. What do you mean by this, right? When you're translating words from, I don't know, from Arabic to English or English to Arabic or any other language, right? And you see the scholars were very particular in this, very meticulous in their use of language, who are not inclined to hasty and negligent Arabization of alien terms and concepts opposed to our religion and our vision of reality and truth. Many of the Greek terms and concepts were transcribed in their original forms so as to render their foreign origin immediately recognizable, such that their proper places became known, right? So when, as you know, in Islamic history, when we came across Greek ideas, Hellenistic ideas and philosophies, our scholars were very careful. They didn't reject it, but they didn't embrace it wholesale as well. There was this suspicion, hermeneutics of suspicion. They were careful in terms of how they use those words, right? This is how Muslims do it. They have this filter. It must agree with our worldview, right? And we should be able to translate them, concepts and ideas, very, very carefully. So it would be better if the term secular were just transcribed into Arabic spelled, with seen, ya, kaf, lam, ra, with kasra to seen, right? So as in just keep it in Arabic, secular, right? With kasra to seen, zamma to kaf, and fatha to lam. In this way, we would know at once that a term and a concept. Just keep it as you would say, seen, seculam, right? Or seculam ra. In this way, we would know at once what a term and a concept is not Islamic Arabic. To Arabize such terms and concepts is to introduce confusion in our minds, because that will give the impression that they are natural to Islam, would encourage Muslims not only to think in those terms and concepts, but to actualize such thoughts that are alien and opposed to Islam into concrete reality. So you're saying just keep it as it is, right? If you're going to bring alamiyat and dunya, ihtimam, these words have a specific meaning in the Muslim vocabulary, in our cosmos, in our understanding of the world. And when you start translating these words, you're confusing people because they're not the same. Laysu sawa'a, they're not the same thing. Okay. So I strongly believe with sound reason that the Arabization and introduction of the ambivalent concept of Almaniya into mainstream contemporary Arabic is largely responsible for insinuating into the Muslim mind the dichotomous separation of the sacred and the profane, right? This is the effect of modernity, the march of modernity, separating the sacred and profane. This is alien to Islam, okay? Remember, everything for us has its place, right? Creating therein the socio-political notion of an unbridgeable gap separating what it considers to be a theocratic state from a secular state. Right, you see in politics today, there's confusion in the Muslim mind in misunderstanding the Muslim secular state by setting it in contrast with the theocratic state. One one that's ruled by religious ideas, right? But since Islam does not involve itself in a dichotomy between the sacred and the profane, unlike other traditions, right? How then can it set in contrast the theocratic state with the secular state? An Islamic state is neither wholly theocratic nor wholly secular. A Muslim state calling itself or is called by others secular does not necessarily have to divest nature of spiritual meaning, does not necessarily have to deny religious values and virtues in politics and human affairs. Just because you call it secular doesn't mean you need to do what secularity demands, okay? Does not necessarily have to oppose religious truth and religious education in the way that philosophical and scientific process, which I call secularization, necessarily does involve the divesting of spiritual meaning from the world of creation, right? The denial of religious values and virtues from politics and human affairs. Our religion is inseparable from politics. It's inseparable from economics. It's inseparable from education. It's all intertwined, right? We don't separate our education from religion. We don't separate our politics from our religion, right? It's intertwined. It is this confusion in the Muslim mind that is causing the emergence in our midst of social and political upheavals and disunity, right? Unity has two aspects. The outward, external unity manifests in society as communal and national solidarity. And then there's the internal unity of ideas and mind revealed in intellectual and spiritual coherence that encompasses realms beyond communal and national boundaries. Understanding of our identity as Muslims pertains to the second aspect, right? We need to have a unity within us, which is fundamental to the realization of the first, right? That this idea of within us, right? Inward unity, that ideas, mind, reveal in intellectual and spiritual coherence. Everything needs to be, there needs to be beauty, there needs to be connectedness, there needs to be the geometry. Everything needs to go back to the center, to back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once you get that, then you can look at the first aspect. The coherence of the second aspect depends upon the soundness and integrity of concepts connoted in language, right? You need to be able to grapple with it yourself. You need to have a unity in yourself. You need to be balanced. You need to understand these things yourself, right? The instrument of reason, which influences the reasoning of its users. So you need to have it worked out yourself, right? If you don't do this, you're trying to implement things and you don't understand it yourself, you don't understand unity yourself, then you're going to cause chaos. If the soundness and integrity of concepts in language is confused, then this is due to a confusion in worldview caused by the corruption of knowledge. And this is what the Sheikh has been talking about for a little while. Right. In the book, in the language of Muslim people, including Arabic, there's a basic vocabulary consisting of key terms which govern the interpretation of the Islamic vision of reality and truth, and which project the worldview of Islam in correct perspective. Because the words that comprise this basic vocabulary have their origins in the Quran, these words are naturally in Arabic and are deployed uniformly in all Muslim languages. There are words that we use them across the Muslim world, if you like, reflecting the intellectual and spiritual unity of Muslims throughout the world. The Islamic basic vocabulary is composed of key terms and concepts related to one another meaningfully and altogether determining a conceptual structure of reality and existence projected by them. The Islamization of language, which is a fundamental element in conversion to Islam, is none other than this infusion of the Islamic basic vocabulary into the languages of Muslim people. In this way, each language of a Muslim people with every other has in common this basic Islamic basic vocabulary as its own basic vocabulary. And as such, all languages of Muslim people belong to the same family of Islamic languages. What I wish to introduce here is the concept of Islamic language, that there is such a thing as Islamic language, because language cannot be categorized as Islamic, because language that can be categorized as Islamic does exist by virtue of the common Islamic vocabulary inherent in each of them. The key terms and concepts in the basic vocabulary of each of them ought indeed to convey the same meanings. So what you have in language is you have the word itself and you have the ma'na, the meaning. What comes to your mind when you use that word, right? So even though these words might be different, in Islamic world, the meaning is the same, right? When you say salah, And when you say namaz, salah is the Arabic word, namaz is a Persianized Persian word, but everybody knows what it means, right? Since they are all involved in the same conceptual and semantic network, if, for example, we find today that the focus word ilm, knowledge, which is a major key term in the basic vocabulary of all Islamic languages, conveys different connotations in each member of the family of Islamic languages, then this regrettable fact is not caused by what is vaguely termed as social change, but by ignorance error. So when you say knowledge, everybody, all Muslims should understand what it means by this. But if everybody has understood it differently, then there's a problem. Okay, but by ignorance, which is productive of the confusion that causes social change. To say that restriction of meaning or alteration of meaning such that the original intention is no longer conveyed, affecting key terms in the basic vocabulary of Islam, is due to social change, and to acquiesce to such restriction and alteration of meaning as the exponents of modern linguistics teach is to imply the legitimacy of authority invested in the common people, in society, to effect semantic change. It's basically saying that, you know, people who have knowledge are the ones who change these things, right? In Islam, there is a hierarchy, right? Whether we like it or not, there is a hierarchy in Islam. Everything has its place, right? Unlike the flattening of the modern world, right? There are people, Allah mentions very clearly in the Quran, the Prophet alayhi salatu wa mentioned this in the Quran. I'm not talking about hierarchy in the oppressive sense, right? I'm not talking about it in, you know, in the Western sense where they think of hierarchy as something that's oppressive, right? It's not oppressive. It's being in the right place, situated in the right place so that everything works together, everyone knowing their position, right? So this is important. So he's saying that we can't let the common people just change meanings, right? This kind of teaching, which has in fact been propagated in name of scientific knowledge, is misleading and dangerous and must not be tolerated, for Islam does not accept society as authoritative in matters of knowledge. We can't leave it to people to decide what's authoritative, right? Or invest in authority to bring about changes that would lead Muslims astray. Society, insofar as knowledge and understanding of Islam and its worldview are concerned, has no authority. On the contrary, society is generally ignorant and needs proper education and constant guidance by the learned and wise within it so as to ensure its salvation, right? This is what he's saying. He's making it very, very clear here, right? You can't just, you know, leave it to everybody and whatever society goes, because we know society follows whims and desires. وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ Allah says in the Quran that most of mankind will not believe. So are you going to follow purely something based on numerical significance or based on truth, based on divine guidance? Okay, so just because all of society accepts something as normal today doesn't necessarily mean it's right. Just because something is legal or illegal doesn't mean that it's morally right or wrong, right? For us, it's what do the people of knowledge, what does Allah say, right? And this is something to bear in mind as well. Okay, and a lot of people forget about this. What are our principles? What are our usul? What are our metaphysics? What is that telling us? So this means that the learned and wise among Muslims must exercise constant vigilance in detecting erroneous usage in language which impinges upon semantic change in major key concepts, in order to prevent the occurrence of general confusion in error in the understanding of Islam and his vision of reality and truth. Okay, he's going to go through some words, and what we'll do, we'll leave that for now. And inshallah, after Ramadan, we will continue. Assalamu alaikum.